Honestly, I prefer where male strip clubs far more. There was one incredible one in Toronto as well, which was amazing. Because Toronto, Canada's the only place that you can have full frontal male nudity.
Stop it. Is it? They should put that on the tourist board website.
I am proud to be working with Jean-Paul Gaultier to show that everyone has the power within them to make it rain with pride. Jean-Paul Gaultier has been the champion of the LGBTQ+ community from the very beginning in 1982, consistently creating a place of inclusivity for all, from fashion to fragrance. From dressing men in skirts to the iconic Sailor fragrance bottles, right through to being the first designer to cast transgender models in their Fashion Week show back in 2014. When it comes to embracing the LGBTQ+ community in its entirety, there is no one quite like Jean-Paul Gaultier. The brand remains a symbol of queer freedom, a freedom to dress how you want, be who you want, and love who you want. And the gorgeous new rainbow limited edition Lamel Pride Collector bottle symbolizes just that. And even better, 100% of the profits go towards the national LGBTQ+ youth homelessness charity AKT, who have provided over 250,000 nights off the street for LGBTQ+ young people at risk of or experiencing homelessness. And with Jean-Paul Gaultier's help, more LGBTQ+ youth will feel safer. You can pick up your very own Lamel Pride bottle right now from Look Fantastic. Hello and welcome to this very special mini-series, Make It Rain with Pride. I'm Josh Smith, a journalist and presenter, and I've learned so much from the incredible people I've met throughout my career, especially on this very podcast. And it feels only right to share the amazing words of wisdom I've heard with you. This podcast is all about celebrating the successes of some of our favourite kings and queens who open up about the obstacles and adversity they have had to overcome in their lives by telling the stories of how they found the power to make it rain. This special series is something super close to my heart as it's dedicated to celebrating all the amazing members and allies of the LGBTQ+ community. I needed role models like these people you'll meet in this series, not only when I was growing up, but throughout my life. So I hope these open and honest conversations also encourage you to live authentically as you and make it rain with pride every damn day, no matter how you identify. In this episode of Make It Rain, we are joined by model, actress, entrepreneur, activist. Is there anything she can't do? It's the one and only Cara Delevingne. Cara started her modelling career when she left school and was soon the face of quite literally everything from Dior to Chanel. She won Model of the Year at the British Fashion Awards twice and found a huge and at sometimes isolating level of fame. Cara stepped into the world of movies with her role in Anna Karenina before taking on leading roles in Suicide Squad, Paper Towns, and then Amazon Prime's TV extravaganza, Carnival Row. I caught up with Cara on a hot, hot day while she was filming on location in Prague. She opens up about being an entrepreneur with her sex tech brand, Laura DiCarlo, the stigma around female masturbation, defining her own sexuality, and just how much she loves a stripper. I mean, I can relate. Have you not been to Magic Mike Live? I love Cara's honest words about respecting your right to change your mind and define yourself on your own terms. So I hope you take as much away from this episode as I have. So get ready to wear your crown with pride. But where are you at the moment?
I'm in Prague, Czech Republic.
Oh my god, what's it like there at the moment? Can you like go out and do stuff, or is it?
It
quite,
just
like,
opened up on Monday, but there's no tourists here, and this is like tourist land where it's usually stag do's all the time, so it's just kind of empty, which is also really nice.
I mean, I went to Prague for my brother's stag do. It was honestly one of those experiences in life where you're like, I never want to repeat this. It was so intense. It's the only stag do I've ever been on that hasn't been either a gay stag do or like a hen do, and it was so intense. Like, I went to a strip club, never been to a strip club before, had a little freak out about it, then made friends with the strippers. It was a full experience for me.
Every time I go to a strip club, that's what happens. Make such good friends.
I'm like,
oh my god, you're so cool. You're a doctor and you're a single mum. You're awesome. And then all the guys are like, what are you doing? This is not what we're meant to do here. I'm like, shut up.
You're not meant to chat to people, babes.
Why not? I hate the rules. Oh, have you ever been to Magic Mike before?
Have I been to Magic Mike Live?
It's have you been? It's amazing.
Honestly, I was like, you know when you think you're going to be calm and you'll be like, I'm not going to go mad. I was literally like whooping, I was hollering. Oh. I was losing my mind.
Why would you ever make a rule that you have to be calm at that sort of thing? I mean, I just don't think it's honestly like, it was so hot. It was carnage. And I honestly went back to the guys who like made the show and I was like, I think you're doing the world a really big favor. I know that sounds stupid, but it's again, it's educating and teaching men more about foreplay and not just in sex, but just in the way that they can be sexy in that way. Like, yeah. I am attracting you instead of that. It was just like, it's an art. I was honestly blown away. Obviously, you're just amazed. I was amazed.
Honestly, what some of those boys can do to a floor is unbelievable. I was like, I just want to be that floor.
I'm the floor.
And
or I'll be that drum kit, all those rope things. I mean, there's just so much you want to be. I got taken up on stage. I was having the best time. I was like the one that was attached to the ropes flying around in the air.
Are you joking?
No, it was so fun. Oh, honestly, I prefer where male strip clubs far more. There was one incredible one in Toronto as well, which was amazing. Because Toronto, Canada's the only place that you can have full frontal male nudity. Did you know?
Stop it. Is it? They should put that on the tourist board website.
Well, I think it's one of the only places, but they don't, obviously don't do that in Vegas, or they don't do that anywhere else. But Canada, you wouldn't think it. But honestly, I remember going into a place and I was like, oh, there's a penis on my hand at the bar. That's weird. Just there, floppy. This is funny. Oh, good friends with those strippers too. You just got to make friends wherever you go.
You just
got
to make friends. It's what it's all about. Yeah. Well, what a cracking start, darling.
Honestly, I go right full in. Just we like go. That whipped cream. Hard and fast. No? Deep and slow. Whatever you want.
Deep and meaningful.
That's what I meant. It's even worse. What, do you want to get married now?
Well, this series of Make It Rain is all about celebrating all things pride, which is what we are all about. Living our lives truthfully, authentically, and being us.
Indeed.
With that in mind, when do you think you've been the most proud of yourself? And what do you think pride means to you?
So when I think I've been the most proud of myself, I think no matter what I do now in life, like, I have to remember, I think I had such a high expectation of myself always to make other people happy, to be perfect, to, so that almost that my fear of failure or my fear of letting other people down or like making mistakes, I would hold myself to such a high standard that would be almost the worst thing. But now I try and live with kind of pride and acceptance every day. And I think by living authentically, by being able to like use my voice, be honest about love that I feel or love that I feel for myself or struggles that I'm going through, using the one thing that I think is a gift for human beings is connection and communication. And I just don't think I ever was proud of that or used it enough until I stopped feeling shame. Shame about my sexuality, shame about the woman that I am, shame about, I don't even know where it came from. I honestly just felt, I don't know. And as well, like being proud of my sensitivity as a woman and using that and being like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sensitive. So really it's kind of a daily thing, pride. I think always it's funny when this time comes around because this is not just a month for the community. This is about anyone choosing love, really. And any ally of the community or people in the community, that's what I think pride needs to be about. It's just love. Love your partner, love your neighbor, love yourself, more importantly. And loving people you don't know either. Like, it just, love doesn't have to be something you talk about where it's just in a relationship. Love can just be for a stranger, you know, having empathy and compassion for people you don't know or what people are going through.
Because I think it's, like, even when I think back to my own struggles with my own identity and my own sexuality, a lot of it was born out of shame. And like, I know you've talked about this before, but you're saying about having this sort of internalized homophobia. I really used to have that. And I was like, because it's almost like when society tells you not to be something, then in your head, you're like, oh my God, I can't be like this. I need to change it. And realizing that you can't change it and accepting it and kind of letting go of the shame is kind of the journey. I'm not saying this is necessarily the same for you, but the journey I've been towards being proud of myself.
That's amazing.
How has your relationship with self-shame and the overall pressure of shame changed?
Well, I think what you were saying, interestingly enough, is that growing up, that shame or being told by society exactly what you were saying, or that if you can't do this, so then you're constantly that idea of like, I can't. It almost, I think, because again, the way I define myself still changes all the time, whether it's like pansexual, bisexual, I don't really know. But it's such an interesting thing that I think, because I wasn't allowed to be something that I kind of like, it's like a pendulum swinging. That almost now I feel far more comfortable being bisexual than I used to. Or no, that I've kind of felt, because I was lacking in that kind of my desire for women or love for women, that I kind of just went one way and now kind of, it's interesting, it changes a lot more. But I feel a lot more free of being more comfortable in it, because before I was like, oh, I'm gay. And now it just changes all the time. So I think with that, the kind of self-shaming, I will talk to myself so much worse than I would ever speak to any other human being in the entire world, no matter what. Even someone who's hurt me more than anyone, I will be so much nicer than I am just on an average day. It's just the judgment. I really try to be, obviously you can't really help it, but I really try to be not to judge people for anything but myself. I just hold myself to a different standard, as I said. But also I always felt like that was part of what made me successful, because I didn't, you know, I always thought that working hard meant you had to go to university, you had to get good grades. You know, I always felt like I didn't deserve, or I didn't really work that hard, because modeling isn't a real job, or, you know, being in the entertainment industry isn't a real job. That's not really hard work. And, you know, I would work till I was black and blue in the face. That's not what I meant, but you know what I mean, like blood, sweat, and tears. But I was like, but this isn't what, I'm not a doctor, I don't save lives, so I don't, this doesn't matter. So it was that kind of judgment. But then again, like anyone else, another actress would say to me like, oh, it's not a real job. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Of course, for you. But just, it's just holding yourself to a different standard. But it's not right. And I say it a lot of like, treat yourself like you would treat someone else. But really, when you're in those moments where you hear that internal monologue or that internal dialogue of what your own self-deprecating voice is, to really listen to it and go, wow, would I really speak to a stranger like that? That's horrible.
Nice. Like, the dialogue we have of ourselves can be the most destructive, can't it? And like, it's learning to change that dialogue. How have you learned to change that dialogue with yourself?
So a really interesting, and this isn't maybe good for everyone to do, but it's an interesting exercise to write like a letter to yourself from your inner critic. Because I write all the time, but I've never been so good at writing so easily and so fast. Because it poured out of me like a waterfall almost, and it was just the most brutal. I didn't realize how bad it was till I kind of put it all on paper, and I was like, wow, this is fun. Like that kind of fucked up person that was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then you get someone else to read it to you. And almost what was weird is that when someone tried to say, compliment me in the opposite way, they read it and go, but you're not like that, you're like this, and be nice, that made me feel more uncomfortable than it did hearing my own inner thing. So that, like, it's almost that for a while I was always very bad at taking compliments. If someone was like, that was a really good movie, I was like, oh, that's a terrible movie, I would never watch it, you know, kind of thing. Or at least at some point I knew that making people, I was making people uncomfortable by deflecting the compliment, so I pretend to accept the compliment just to make them feel more comfortable, even though I still didn't believe them. Instead of actually doing the work to really just appreciate that that's their opinion, and maybe if you listen to it, they're not lying. I don't know. But the kind of work, no matter what it is, it's kind of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and really getting to know yourself. You know, I think there were so many moments, especially in the last year, of of, you know, it's been one of the hardest years for the world together, right? But I think everyone is now more joined than ever because we've all gone through the same struggle.
Mm.
You know, the whole world has gone through something together. So at this point, it's kind of a springboard for that. And yeah, I think learning how to connect more, self-help is bigger than ever. It needs to be, at least, like, you know, whether it's therapy, even just talking to your friends. You don't have to have a therapist, but it's always great to either way. Whatever it is, I mean, I think just kind of stay together, stick together, help each other, help yourself. It's an ongoing, I still struggle though. So I'm still getting better at it, I think.
Because I think whenever we talk about pride, we talk about allyship, right? But I think also you've got to learn to be your own ally. And with that in mind, with the kind of journey you've been on with this self-critic, have you learned that you can be and you are your own ally in certain ways, in ways you were never before?
Didn't even think about that. No, you're so right. You're really, really right, actually. It's a very good point. Well, yeah, I think this last year, I've really learned what it's like to be in a relationship with myself and to be my own best friend. And it's made me closer to other people in terms of friendships or relationships. You know, it's made my connection so much stronger with others as well by just being there for myself. Even though I've always been way more willing to love someone else than really love myself. So I was never, it was always so hard to really understand how to be in a relationship, because I would always love that person more. But now at this point in my life, I'm like, I'm number one, which is great.
That's such a special place to get to.
Yeah, it really is, especially when, like, it's not like you, the problem is when you can't stick up for yourself, or you do love the other love other people more than you love yourself, you just get walked all over. And it takes so long for you to stand up for yourself and to go, actually, I don't deserve this, goodbye. It's amazing. It's the best feeling in the world. And then you're finally proud of yourself. Because honestly, usually before, I would be like, I would feel guilty for saying to someone, hey, you've hurt me. Like, that would make me feel bad. Instead, like, that's crazy. It's taken so much work, that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, I find that so hard to do. It's so hard to say, like, okay, the way you just reacted in that situation has really affected me. Because I'd be like,
but so many, like, people do fucked up shit where they, like, not just gaslighting, but that they'll make you feel bad for saying that. You're like, wait, you're making me feel bad for having boundaries? Boundaries, 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 boundaries. Number one thing I'm learning this year. It's amazing.
Oh my God, 1000%. Do you think as well, like, I mean, we were touching on labels earlier about pansexual, about bisexual, and whatever labels are. I mean, we're kind of getting to a place in society where people are kind of, you know, in a no-label culture. But do you think for you it's been harder to process your emotions and feelings because you felt a pressure to pick a label or adhere to a box at different times, or to label how you're feeling?
I mean, definitely all humans are hypocrites, but I definitely felt quite hypocritical in a way of myself, because one of the things I always felt from a young age was that to stop labeling everything and say it's on my Instagram thing and my bio. And then I remember someone saying to me, but I thought that you were all about not labeling, so why are you calling yourself pansexual? I was like, well, because today it made me feel nice to feel like I identify with something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like, but it's not like I pretend to know what I'm talking about all the time. But if someone feels more comfortable to live in a world where they need to put things in a box or label, not that saying if you label yourself, you put yourself in a box, but find a more of a community or a, it makes, I know a lot of like personality types and people that like that, but also the problem is I should probably not be so quick to label myself, is because it changes all the time, or at least be honest about the fact that it might still change, you know?
Because
even in the form of like gender and identity, it's the same thing, because like I am a woman, but I like to play the role of a man sometimes. But that doesn't mean I identify anything other than a woman. But even understanding that, it's just so interesting with gender identity, role, sexuality, and they kind of come into this one community, and it's just a lot to put on a group of people when there's so many different brackets of these things.
Yeah, and it's also about, I think it's so difficult as well because we still live in a society where the pigeonholing of women is so extreme. And like for you, you've, like you were saying, you were like the queen of kind of like tearing down boundaries. You know, like you go from modeling, you go to acting.
I'll pour whipped cream on them. That was
you pour whipped cream on those boundaries and you lick them up and then you take them away.
Sounds wrong.
That sounds wrong, but kind of working with the analogy. But like, for you, like, that's such an incredible thing that you've been able to do, to show you can be multiple different things at multiple different times. And that's so incredible. Has it been difficult at times for people to respect that, do you think?
I do think... honestly, I don't really care anymore because I respect myself finally. All I cared about was other people respecting me, or not even respecting me, liking me, when I had no respect for myself. So why would I expect other people to know how to respect me if I didn't respect myself or have the boundaries or say I don't deserve this kind of treatment, or I do work really hard, or this is what... I don't know. There are so many things where I don't really ever... Now looking back on it, that doesn't really bother me. Because, especially now at this point in my career, being able to do things like, you know, this Pride collection with Puma, where we give 20% of the proceeds back to the LGBTQI+ charities and my foundation, it just makes such a huge difference. And especially in terms of like even being a part of like businesses and having a foundation and knowing exactly, it just, I don't know, I never felt like I had a void, but there was never enough, like I had to get this next job and do this next thing. And then it was so much like I was reaching for something which I could never really get. And I had to keep falling down to realize like, oh my gosh, I can just help people, or at least inspire people, or both, or do whatever I can and try and live as honestly and authentically as possible. Though I find that word authentic quite difficult. Because everyone wants to be authentic, but what does even authentic even mean? Because I feel like it's a, every day if you better yourself, it's like, it's not like you wake up one day and you're like, this is, today I'm authentic.
Yeah, I'm finally authentically me, because that's an,
because this whole
process,
world is about like fakeness, which isn't, not saying that I'm not, because look, I mean, I'm not, we all hide behind clothes and makeup and it's, flashy things, materialism, beliefs, all of this stuff. So to be like a truly authentic human is like, then you should be a nudist on a, and who lives in a wood. I don't know. It just, that is an interesting topic.
Yeah, because I think as well, like with the second Puma collection you've just done, I mean, it's the Forever Free capsule collection. What does being free mean to you? Is it being able to make your own choices and have it respected by people around you, or what does freedom mean to you?
So Forever Free, I mean, I've always had this said to me by people before, they were like, you seem like one of the freest people, and I was like, but I always felt when I was younger, I was like, I don't think I'm free, I think I'm just crazy. Freedom, again, means being able to live your truth, no matter what that means every day, and not knowing, and be comfortable not knowing. You know, and always just, I think something that, as we were talking about before, to really spread that message of love, no matter what community, where you come from, what religion you belong to, what age you are, all of those things, they just don't really matter if you just kind of lead with love, I suppose. And that's what real freedom is. Because I think to really love, it's not to possess, not to... Love, it should be the most freeing thing in the world. But now it's so much more confined. Like, usually there are so many much more rules than that. But I think true love is real freedom. That doesn't have to be in a relationship. That just could mean generally.
Yeah, and also with yourself, right?
That's what I meant, yeah. Honestly, I really realized something about, and I know this sounds so weird, but especially it's been so much easier to have love for myself when I've had a dog. I know that sounds so strange. What is that about? because you realize you like, because instead of having a baby, I think, which is kind of what I was like, the idea, I suppose, but not really. It's, you know, the halfway point, not really either, but that's definitely not true. But it's kind of to see how much love you have to give something. Which obviously, instead of a relationship where you're like, oh my God, this thing, and you're like, oh my God, that's how much love I have to give. That's how much love I can give myself if I could only do that. Even a fraction of that is enough.
Do you think that when we talk about role models, and I think it's so incredible what you've been able to do and what you've been able to achieve, and you've achieved so much in so many different aspects of your career. Do you think in some ways you've kind of become the role model you kind of always wanted?
I didn't even know. That's really sweet. I don't know, man. I'm just so proud of the youth today, of like how really free they all are and how grown up they are. And just, I honestly look at girls who I speak to who are just young. Doesn't really matter what age, and they're like, I just don't know. They're just so brave and themselves. And I do feel, I'm like, oh God, I wish I had that ounce of acceptance or freedom at that age. And if I could have been any help to that movement, then I'm just so proud of myself in any way, shape or form. Because it's so interesting to see that. Because I definitely didn't really feel like that. I mean, I remember I got the weirdest feeling when I met Billie Jean King, in that it made me feel differently, and I don't know what it was. Because I only probably had learned about her when I got older, and it was probably after I'd had my first like sexual interaction or whatever with a woman, but I was still very much in the closet, and I was like, oh, what? This is kind of crazy. And it's just interesting because I was like, oh my God, that's the only kind of example I felt in that time, which makes no sense. Can't be right. It's weird, isn't it?
I think visibility is so important, and I think that's what's so, one of the things that's so great about you is that level of visibility. And also, I love that when you talk about it, you're like, I may change my mind, and that's fine. I don't have all the answers all the time. And I think that's such a great thing for a role model to say. And with that in mind, who do you think has passed the crown onto you in that sense and inspired you the most?
I don't know. There are so many badass women I really look up to. So I kind of grew up as Jerry Halliwell from the Spice Girls, as like my fairy godmother. And I just feel like they represented something that, again, wasn't really around then, which was women working together to create something that, like, they were all so different, so free, so supportive of each other, you know. But, like, again, they were so celebrated for their differences. And obviously it was funny because they all had to be put in these kind of boxes where all of them are multifaceted. We know why people do that. It's the same with, like, superheroes. But they really were superheroes. And still, all those songs still slap till the end of the day. But like, it represented something so important to me growing up, the Spice Girls.
I mean, the Spice Girls are life, are true life. Like, honestly, like, Spice Girls speak to me on a whole other level. And we are going to be slamming to the left and shaking it to the right and having a good time straight.
That's what Pride is going to be going. Like, yes! Come on, that song at Pride, like, come the fudge down.
I mean, that's a big moment. So while we party to that song, you can enjoy this little quick ad break.
Great.
No Scent celebrates everything the queer spirit is about, like Jean-Paul Gaultier fragrances. The iconic fragrance, Le Male, has had a rainbow makeover this Pride season, and the Pride Collector bottle is available at Look Fantastic right now. 100% of profits from each purchase will go towards the national LGBTQ+ youth homelessness charity, AKT. This will help more young people live freely, openly, and honestly, something Make It Rain and Jean-Paul Gaultier are all about championing this Pride Month and every month.
Make It Rain is proud to be working with Aurelia London, the experts in probiotic skincare. This year, I've been learning about the wonders of using a resurfacing product in my skincare regime, so get ready for an education. Resurfacing your skin encourages cell turnover, which helps your skin in so many ways. I've been using Aurelia's new resurfacing serum. It's formulated with a natural retinol alternative, bakuchiol. Combined with probiotics and niacinamide, this soothing wonder serum enhances radiance no matter what skin type or concerns you have, or even when skin is feeling a bit dull. And it's not affected by UV rays, so it can be used day or night. That's the dream, right? It's got a gorgeous, lightweight texture that gently resurfaces skin to reveal your brightest glow. It's the ultimate summer serum, babes. And because Aurelia London and Make It Rain are all about empowering people to glow inside and out, I've got a special code for you. Get 20% off the entire range by heading to aurelialondon.com and using the code Josh20 at the checkout. Oh my God, I'm honestly loving talking to you. I literally think the way that you... I think the way that you talk about things is so great because I think it's honestly like, we so expect people to be like, I've got the answer. Do you know what I mean? It's actually like, no, we're all figuring it out, right?
But that's honestly the funnest thing is why I really want to like come... And listen, I think after a certain point, after... the first couple of years, I retreated a lot from certain things because I think privacy, I don't think I valued my privacy very much for a while, especially since when you first get famous, it's like, oh my God, I'll give everyone a photo I've ever met, ever, because it's so crazy. And then you're like, you know, you're in tabloids and then your relationship, and then you realize that tabloids have an effect on the relationships you have, like all of those things. And you're suddenly like, oh my God, retreat, retreat. When kind of, always everything I ever wanted to do was inspire and help people by being honest. But then to really help myself, I needed to like retreat from that a little bit and like be honest, of course, but just have my life back a little bit because I was kind of living a life for everyone else. And it's interesting. So now like I value privacy, but I still want to be able to like speak honestly and not be... like the whole idea of celebrity, like I'm only here because if I can do something like I just feel like there's so much pressure for people in the public eye to like, I don't know. I always think like if I was to have like, let's say work done or something, like I would talk about it. Like I had my teeth done, for instance, but there's something I find really important for young girls, I think, especially at the moment, to have someone who would like necessarily go and do something and then talk about it afterwards. Because it's not, but it's seen as being like it for some reason that's frowned upon, that kind of like, you know. And I get it because it comes from a place of deep insecurity. Like ever since I was a kid, I was like, I want to have a boob job, my boobs are uneven, you know, I don't like my nose, or like different things. And you know, I've gotten close to thinking about it, and luckily at that moment go, well, if I was to do it, then I don't think I could be honest about it, and then that would be a problem. Because I just think that young girls or young boys even need to know that some things aren't naturally obtainable. You know, which is fine. That's the model of modern science. Like, that's okay. It's great. But just it, what makes it more sad is that people just can't really talk about it.
Because they, you know? It's about respecting people's personal choices. Like, I'm always just like, if you want to go get the biggest boob job known to mankind, go get it. Doesn't affect me.
Boob jobs look great. They look great, but I just worry for those young girls when, again, you just see how much makeup girls wear, which is all fine, but they look at people and go, well, that's just not real. That's what I wish I looked like. But that's why I'm saying, like, I can't wait to have something done. And I don't know when it would be because I have to act. And the problem is I can't not move my face. Because that's the only thing I have is to be able to move my face really weirdly in so many different ways. So, like, I just worry that I wouldn't be able to do that. And I'd be like, which Monday? Maybe. I would have had something done if I didn't represent what I represent, which is not. That's the only thing. I felt it was more important to not do something because I wanted to represent not doing something, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to.
Yeah, I think that's also a good thing to say as well, because I think when we talk about those kind of like beauty standards that there are in the modeling industry, are in our entertainment industry, like, do you think, and growing up in that, and coming into the public eye in that, what do you think that taught you about beauty and womanhood?
Yeah, everyone's idea of beauty is different, but what beauty should be is you, like, not you yourself, but like the beauty is really the eye of the beholder, but everything is beautiful. What I really find truly beautiful though is confidence. And but also you don't have to be confident, but what I'm saying when I mean confident is just like I'm confidently a mess right now, like I don't know, that's what beauty to me is, because I do feel like going into that world, and now I'm so glad it's changed, that when I went in it was like, why is everyone so underweight? You know, I'm fucking skinny, I'm very very skinny, but I'm naturally very skinny, but I always, this is the thing, you always want what you can't have. I was like, God, I wish I was more womanly. It's just the crazy thing. And now I think it's changed a lot. But the modeling industry did go very much to just kind of like, again, from the 90s and 80s, where it was like, all these women were celebrated for being different. And like these kind of the supermodel era, then it became this kind of just like everyone, you know, and now it's changed again. And I'm just so happy. It just, it's funny how beauty or the fat, like fads move in phases and things come in and out of phase. But kind of what I think, hopefully, isn't a phase is that like more acceptance and inclusion in beauty, 100%. I think that's really important. You know, the worst thing is that, like, can I just go back to the thing about having work done, is that it's so well done now that the thing that makes me the saddest is that I wouldn't want anyone to ever think or question whether I had or hadn't done it, because most of the time when I hang out with other women, not in a bad way, but it's always a conversation of, do you think that person's had something done? Can you see the difference? How much does that happen? Like, it happens way too much. No one should, that's why it's like, it wouldn't it be easier to just say, yeah, you know what, I have had something done. So people don't just sit there like looking at before and after photos all the time.
Yeah, and then also Googling you and being like,
mate, and then you're like, really? This is so stupid. Like, has she, hasn't, oh my God, mate, no.
No. I think as well, like, one of the things that I've always admired about you is about how honest you have been about your mental well-being and, like, being honest about that. And I think that's so important too. And I think we're moving into a new phase where hopefully we're respecting it more. And but then also the media then does tend to tear it down. You've got to look at, like, Naomi Osaka to know that. Like, do you think...
No.
How much do you think...
That's crazy.
You coming to terms with your identity in the public eye has... accelerated your mental health, or how's your relationship with your mental health changed, and what have been some turning points in that journey?
My mental health is definitely better now, or the journey has obviously been a long one, but I also struggle with it, you know, since I was a kid. But it also comes from things like trauma and, you know, having addiction in my family. Like, it's just, there are so many things of the reasons why, and instead of pointing the finger and going, oh, it's like I'm sick, which I think is an interesting thing about mental illness. Like, I, you know, I don't take antidepressants. I really try as much as I can to use the tools that I already have within me.
Yeah.
Of course, some people definitely need to and do take medications and other things. But I really just try and use the tools that I have within me to kind of do that, and less like not blame anyone else or blame anything else, but not go, I'm sick, I'm fucked up. Because honestly, my whole life I thought being gay was a mental illness. Like, I thought I was sick. I thought there was something wrong with me, you know, being queer, being like all any of those things. And I think it was the same with depression and like, oh no, it's okay. It's okay to go through that. Everyone does at some point. And I just think the more people talk about it, their own experience, the physical side effects of panic attacks, what it feels like, the actual, like, I was like, why do I feel so sick today? And I was just, because I was like so overly anxious about something, but I hadn't had that feeling of anxiety in so long. It's just because I was starting a job again. But I do think, luckily, with being able, like, I think this world and this career and this job and putting your kind of like self in the world like this, it's not good for your mental health. But it's not like I was any better before. But it's honestly being able to talk about it has given me the tools to find people to talk to about it.
Yeah.
To find yoga, which has helped me beyond anything I've ever done. Meditation, a practice every day. Being good to myself, learning to look after myself. You know, because I really didn't know how to when I was growing up. I wasn't taught that.
I didn't know how to do that as a teenager. Then you get chucked into this world. It was like, oh my God, help. Like, it just, I had no idea. So, and still as a 28-year-old woman, I'm still learning these things. And that's okay. And I'm not ashamed of that anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's good to talk about it because it's a cathartic process. And it also, by talking about it, you alleviate the shame and the shame that other people might have around it, which is so important. And another thing you're alleviating the shame of is talking about orgasms and sex toys, babe, by setting up.
Taking the stigma away of the orgasms. Big O's. Hopefully loads of orgasms, not one, but no, multiple. That's what we're, all that's the what orgasms. We guarantee every customer. It's just multiple orgasms. That's what's the funniest thing is I've had so many friends go, oh my God, I saw that and I bought, and I was like, why are you, I would have given you this sex toy, but the amount of friends that now have got back in contact with me after so long just to be like, just to be like, thank you. And then just like in so many different ways. I mean, honestly, it was been such a blessing because again, like sexuality, but even more so weirdly enough for me was talking about sex, talking about my own pleasure. You know, and that's what I think for these types of things is that like multiple people, even as many couples in relationships, as much as single people would enjoy these products or just talking about sex in this way, because it's not trying to alienate men and women or however you identify, but it's more about opening the conversation of self-pleasure, what it means to you. Like there are so many guys I know that were like, oh, I just love to sit like and watch her use it. And I'm like, that's so hot. But just like, that's so nice for like, you know, straight couples, you know, it's just nice. It's funny. But it really, it's so interesting when you start talking about sex and how many people find it so unbelievably uncomfortable.
And like when their faces go bright red and they just,
I mean, to be honest, I do too still a little bit, like, you know, my friends would laugh at me if they heard me saying I'm a prude because I'm not, but there's still parts of it where it's like, I was talking about it the other day when I was talking to a guy about how him and all his guy friends were sitting around talking about different names for vaginas. And I was like, yeah, it's terrible. I was like, God, you guys are really immature. But I was like, there's so many terrible names for vaginas. And all the names for a dick are so nice. Like, they're so great. They're like dick, cock, schlong. I don't know what else. Like, there aren't that many. But then, like, the other ones were just, and I'm not even going to say them out loud because they shouldn't even be in the universe of the ones for women's. But it's just gut-wrenching. And he asked me, he was like, what do you call your vagina? And I was like, I don't even like that word. And I was like, I don't know. I've never like, but also even in bed, it's like, I don't like being like, lick my pussy. Like, I hate all of those things. I can't even say that. It's disgusting. Am I even now say this on air? I don't know.
You can say it, babe, like, it's fine.
I just can't handle that. I'm not like, that isn't a thing. And I think, again, that is such an interesting parallel of what, like, the world is a male and female and, like, you know, especially even me growing up, like, the idea of masturbating or talking about masturbation before I was,
like... Oh, it was, like, literally you want to crawl your skin off rather than talk about it.
No. Well, this is the thing, but going to boarding school, the boys were all like, yeah, we play soggy biscuit. You know, the one they all have to calm on the biscuit and the last one who calms on the biscuit eats it. And we were like, yeah, we don't do that. And I remember I used to masturbate in the pool, like, on those pool jet things. And I remember this girl telling everyone that she saw me doing that. And I was...
Mortified.
And there was so much shaming involved and all the other... And I was like, you all did it too, you cunts. I just felt like such a creep then.
Do you think your work with Laura DiCarlo and setting that up has been kind of like a way of you taking pride in your sexuality as well? Has it kind of all come together and it's like you're taking pride in your sexual identity?
100%. And it's really taking pride in my sexual identity, taking pride in my sexuality, but taking pride in my sexual needs as well. And I also think for so long, being able to take ownership of my orgasm, let's say, or whatever that means, or really taking pleasure into my own hands, obviously, it's so much easier to ask a partner or tell a partner what you want if you know what you want, I suppose. And I don't know, it's just so funny. And I think just the way that we're taught that, like, are just men are hornier creatures. It's just not true. It's just we don't have, like, a giant fucking alert in between our legs going, like, woo, I'm alive, you have to stroke me. It's, like, it's still there. It's just a bit more under the surface. So the needs are very much the same. It's just we're not taught to follow that or think about that. That's kind of comes last, is that pleasure part. You're almost far more likely to give your vagina or body to someone but not actually think of, like, that. That's not even part of the amount of times I would have sex and that wasn't even a thought. Like, I wasn't even thinking, oh, I could have an orgasm right now. I was just like, this is sex. That wasn't even on the list of things during sex. Wasn't even, you know, fucked.
And it's important to talk about these things in the public clearly. Eye. Because so, it is important because it helps other, like, you know, the amount of my friends who've literally been like, oh my God, I can't come in this situation. I'm not having an orgasm. I'm like, babe, have a conversation. Like, talk to your partner. Like, that's the important thing, isn't it? Yeah. And I think what you've shown in this episode is you're the queen of bringing things to the surface. Be that literally, like, the love of a good stripper. Be that an love. Orgasm. Be that...
Bring back sex work.
And, like, that's what's... And it's so important. And at the end of every episode, we always ask one final question. And that is, in the reign of your life, what is the one rule you will always live by?
Something to do with an orgasm, but I can't remember. No. Wait. What is the one rule I will always live by? Actions speak louder than words, but also if you say something, do it. Instead of talking about doing something, just go out and do it. And don't overthink anything too much. Feel, don't think. Your head is against you, always. Not always, but you know what I mean. If you can live in your heart and, like, be in your body, then you make better decisions than when you're sitting thinking about things too much or, like, in your head. That was a really long rule.
That's a great rule, though. It's definitely not a rule that you could put on a t-shirt or a pillow. Maybe you could put on a set of pillows.
No, it's like, yeah, exactly. No, it's not gonna work. It's like on a massive pillow. Put it on it. Whatever. I don't know what. I'm mad.
Well, Cara, I've loved talking to you today. It's
Thanks,
been so
love,
great.
Me too.
And
it's been an absolute pleasure.
I mean, we've covered everything, babe.
Yeah.
Quite literally everything.
This is the problem. It's like, basically, after a first day, I basically should get married because I just talk about everything way too fast. Literally, like, I've talked about everything. There's nothing I can really do now.
Oh, I'm the God. Same. I'm literally like, I've given you everything now. What's the next step?
Yeah. Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Make It Rain with Pride. I hope you enjoyed listening to this chat as much as I have. And I hope, like me, there are many things you'll take away from this and use in your own life. Before I go, I just want to mention an incredible LGBTQ+ charity I work with. The LGBT Foundation has helped over 600,000 people a year maintain their health and well-being whilst empowering members of the community to live authentically. If you're struggling or just need to find your community, I put a link in the show notes if you want to check them out and see all the amazing work that they do. And I'll see you next time.